and welcome to the Popcorn Junkies.
Hello and welcome, and I am dressed for the occasion in head to toe pink.
Oh, pretty in pink marks purple.
It's pink enough as anything I had.
If you're listening on a podcast, head over to YouTube and you can judge for yourself as to whether she's wearing pink or purple.
I think I made a bit of an effort with the colour, even though I look like a bag of shit otherwise, because when we went to the screening yesterday, Wow, had people made the effort? There was such a buzz about this film.
Huge buzz.
Leicester Square was taken over, actually, wasn't it? There was lots of cinemas playing it.
And there were lots of people dressed as Barbie, even the one that spilled red wine down in front.
I felt for her.
And there's a lot of men dressed as Ken, which is, this isn't about Ken. I cannot even begin to tell you how excited everyone has got about this film being released. Well, I say that, some people haven't, but this film is being released on the same day as Oppenheimer, and the whole event, Friday the 21st July, is being dubbed as Barbenheimer, which is this kind of, and I think the reason people are kind of captivated with this is you couldn't have two more contrasting films of such sort of tentpole proportions, i.e., you know, they're going to be hugely watched, they're made by two fabulous filmmakers. Obviously, Oppenheimer's by Christopher Nolan, and this is by Greta Gerwig. So this is Barbie. Greta Gerwig, who we know, you loved Lady Bird.
I loved it.
She directed Little Women.
I loved Lady Bird so much.
Film,
I've seen it about three times.
It's one of our daughter's favourite movies. It's a really fantastic film.
And Little Women is great. She's got a mother-daughter relationships, isn't she?
She is. And more on that in a moment. It's directed by her. She obviously was the star of Frances Ha, but it was also co-written by her and her partner, Noah Baumbach. And Noah Baumbach is the guy who directed Marriage Story. I wasn't a particular fan of that. He wrote, and this is an interesting credit thing. I know you movie fans love these connections. He wrote The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Which is our eldest daughter's favourite film.
And he directed While We Were Young, which I have to say is one of the best Ben Stiller indie comedies. It's fantastic. So what I'm saying is...
Oh, God, love that when he wears the silly hat.
Yeah, he takes the drugs.
And decides not to Google. Love that film.
So that's Noah Baumbach. What a power couple. So they've both written it. Greta Gerwig has directed it. It stars Margot Robbie in the titular role of Barbie, though there are many Barbies. She's stereotypical Barbie. And it also stars Ryan Gosling as Ken, the erstwhile Ken. What were your feelings before seeing anything? Because a huge part of the story of this film has been the press build-up. The social media machine has been massive. It's widely being described as, you know, with marketing campaigns, it's one of the most successful marketing campaigns for a film, certainly since COVID and the pandemic.
And the writer has not done any PR because of the strike, so that must be driving them crazy.
And the studio has managed to con all the actors into going to the premiere and doing all the press and then slamming down the doors on negotiations, so that was interesting too. But what were you excited? Were you part of the Barbie sort of fan club?
Well, it's funny, wasn't it? Because on the way to see it last night, you said to me, so what are you expecting? And I thought, oh God, I don't know.
It was a very short conversation.
Yeah. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm expecting to be surprised.
Yeah.
And I went in with no preconceptions. And I know that Greta Gerwig will make me feel something, because that's what I loved so much about Lady Bird.
Yeah.
I think she's really, she can feel the female director in her directing, I think.
Yeah.
And I love Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
I love to look at her. I love to listen to her. I think she's a fantastic actress. Love Ryan Gosling.
You've always had. I didn't realise you had this fascination.
Yeah, fancied him for ages, and though I don't fancy him anymore after this film, it's weird.
That's curious.
So that was all that I knew, and I was happy to be going along to the cinema saying, so what have you got for me?
Fair dues.
So I was very open.
Well, that's good, because I was going along having seen the two trailers, having really liked the first teaser, thought, oh, this is going to be clever, it's going to be filmic. And then the second one I found a little bit kind of standard, and I was like, this needs to do something. This needs to turn quite a big corner for it to work for me. I was also going in with, I am a fan of Margot Robbie, and yet weirdly, I still don't quite think she's found the right role for herself. That's really, even Harley Quinn, that's made her go, ba-doom. And Ryan Gosling, I once loved. I've declared as finding so boring. So I wasn't going...
Have you found him boring?
Well, he was in Blade Runner 2049, which is one of my favourite franchises. I found him dull in that. He was in La La Land. I thought it was all right.
My God, are you joking?
It's all right.
Having a bloody laugh. He was a god in that.
Yeah.
He just smouldered. He was the absolute romantic lead you dream of. He was gorgeous. He was charming. He was charismatic. It was so tasty.
Wow. Okay, well, and I clearly didn't watch the same film.
What was the film with him with where he stood around a lot in a motorbike jacket?
Was it Drive? You keep talking about Drive. It was in Half Nelson, wasn't it? Was it Half Nelson? Was that the film he was in? It was Teacher, I think.
Are you eating cheese?
I'm eating cheese.
Put it down. We're doing a review.
Well, no one knows that. No one knows what Brad Pitt was eating at Wimbledon. They say crisps. It might not have been. Anyway, so the reason I'm saying that is because where I ended up with this film, it was quite a reversal. It also stars Will Ferrell in there, Simu Liu, apologies if I pronounce that incorrectly, the chap who played Shang-Chi, he's in there. Michael Cera is in there playing Alan, Ken's friend. And there's other actresses in there, such as Kate McKinnon, who plays Weird Barbie.
Loved
her. She was fantastic. And America Ferrera, and also Rhea Perlman, playing the founder of Mattel. So, you know, and then loads of cameos, John Cena and all that kind of stuff. Anyway. I knew what the opening of this film was. The beginning is a great riff on 2001, A Space Odyssey. And the reason I want to home in on that is because your granddad worked on it.
He did. And I was like, and it got me going, oh, yeah. Oh, right, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah. We're Barbie. Loved it. I loved the opening.
Yeah, so it was a clever opening, which was in the teaser where, you know, kids smash up dolls and then there's an enormous Barbie. And that's your sort of cue for, like, the moment that Barbie arrived was a seismic moment in childhood for women and mums and all sorts and all that kind of stuff. And then we got going. We were in Barbie land, Barbie world. How did you get to grips with it?
First of all, Barbie world was, I mean, I really hope there's Oscars being handed out to production design.
Wasn't it amazing?
I mean, you know, we have two daughters who were absolutely Barbie obsessed.
Barbies. I was Barbie obsessed.
And, and you know, I've had to defend the play with Barbie over the years, being on Loose Women. If you're listening in America, Loose Women is like The View. And, you know, from a feminist point of view, I've always had to back up my my support of Barbie because our girls entered into their own world every single time they played with, and they would play for hours and hours and hours, days, weeks, accents, everything. So we just were fine with the Barbie thing. But, you know, we know intimately all the furniture and all the extras.
The car.
And, oh my God, they were identical, weren't they?
It was astonishing.
The sets were astonishing. Mm. And just, you know, with that dry, arid opening, and then you go into, bam, the pink of Barbie. I just loved it. Margot straight away, wow, she looks she is immaculate in every single shot. She's a very beautiful woman anyway. But make no bones about it, the makeup artists on that will have been watching each individual to have that kind of doll-like perfection.
Wow.
I thought was really impressive. Yeah. So those were all my first thoughts. Loved all that, you know, that she was standing, but her feet were up in Barbie pose. And I was like, all excited. I thought, what are they going to do with this? Oh, I love this. So that was my first feeling with the first.
Yeah, I mean, as we landed in Barbieland, you can't fail but be absolutely staggered and amazed by the production design, the set design.
Little girls would love that.
Absolutely. It was so immersive. And yet another reminder of how you've got to see this on the big screen. This is a big screen movie. It's screaming, you know, to widescreen and all that kind of stuff. And Kiki reminded me only today that, of course, they ran out of a certain colour of pink on the planet because they were using that pink.
Really?
The set design and the production design.
Oh, good God, what a great fact, I didn't know that.
They ran out of a certain flavour of pink, I forget what it is.
Bubblegum pink.
I was getting vibes right at the beginning, I don't know if you probably don't remember it, but for film fans, I was getting real kind of reminders of the Lego movie, which I don't know if you remember, Chris Pratt plays that little kind of Lego character who's walking around in the Lego movie. And it's the repetitive nature of his life. He's in this toy world, and it's formulaic, and in this instance, because it's Barbie,
it's like the Truman Show,
and it's suburbia, exactly. It's like the Truman Show, and it's like sort of Stepford Wives, and
everything's just perfect. Every single day is just perfect.
Just perfect.
Every single day is happy. Every single day is all about the Barbies, the empowered Barbies ruling the world.
And this is a curious thing because I was completely surprised and flipped on my head in the beginning because. You're right. There's a strange politic around Barbie, isn't there? It's quite a contradictory one. On the one hand, it's one that says this is reducing women and putting pressure on women to conform to a certain type and a certain look. It's a hangover from a sort of sexist age of when women should just look beautiful and stereotypically this and stereotypically that. And yet in this Barbie land, the women rule the roost through their in a sense, infamy and fame in the real world. Because that's the brand that succeeded, isn't it? Because you've got this, you're in Barbie world. And
Well, Barbie world believes it has bridged the gap between, and in the real world, that the real world is out there thanking them for what they've done, in that they are proving you can have it all.
Yeah.
You can be slim, you can be beautiful, you can be the president, you can be whatever you want to be. But men, and the men, are completely sidelined and put upon.
Completely sidelined. And this is where, so we met Margot, and I think Margot was delivered. This is a, I'm fascinated to know what you think about this from an acting perspective, and obviously this changes across the film. But right at the beginning, I thought, wow, this is really difficult, because she's been offered a part that's a plastic doll, and she's being asked to conform to a world of plasticity and formula. And that's very hard to play, I'd have thought, in a way that makes you just not think, okay, this is a bit straight and a bit boring. But
well, I think, again, like straight, you know, you've got great acts in this, but you've also got a fantastic director.
Mm.
So, I mean, the I don't often say this when I come out of the cinema, because I think it can sometimes be a bit wanky, but it was both Margot and Ryan were so committed.
So what's the line you use that I love? If you be prepared to make a fool, what is it?
Yeah, be prepared to make a fool of yourself, or you'll make a fool of yourself, which means basically you have to be in it. You have to inhabit. To act means you've got to lie. To inhabit means you've got to tell the truth. So she was in the truth of Barbie. I worry that Margot, and we'll get to the Ryan situation a bit, but I worry that what Margot's done will actually be underestimated.
Right, yeah, you said that, it's interesting.
Because she's actually done exactly what you need from a Barbie that then becomes human.
Right, okay.
And I think when she was Barbie, she played so brilliantly the doll, but right from the beginning, there's the human thing leaking in. And she does it so subtly until then eventually it goes full whack. And I just think she does it brilliant. I think she's brilliant.
Well, I quite quickly was not expecting to laugh. I think I was the first person in the
cinema. You were howling with laughter.
I was howling with laughter. So that's a good guess, because I think I know funny. Ryan Gosling, principally it pivots around Ryan Gosling in terms of these opening scenes being funny, because they set quite quickly the dynamic of Ken feels that he means nothing unless Barbie sees him. And so all these, and he's competing with other Kens. There's all the Kens.
Well, because presumably, you know, the genesis of Ken and with what Barbie's world was trying to do, was to redress the balance, the power balance, Ken has always been a numpty. Ken was introduced as a numpty.
Yeah.
But what's happened is, in Barbie world, that's continued on. So, you know, have we improved as women in Barbie world if we're doing what was done unto us?
Now, what I think is quite clever about this film is in this early setup where you have essentially powerful, strong, in-control women. Admittedly, they're Barbies, with all of the kind of conflicting politics that I think still surrounds that, which for me is where it all gets a bit confusing. You have men, Kens, lots of Kens, who are weak and are incidental and are subservient.
It's interesting that you should say weak.
Well, in a funny way. I mean, they are. They're secondary. Okay,
but is that not what she's challenging?
Yeah,
that if they don't have... Isn't that the problem with the whole world, that men, through toxic masculinity, men who don't behave in that conformed way that we expect or want men to behave, you know, the bad boy, then they are weak.
But they are. They are all... And I think what's clever about this is it parks the DNA in there of a later dissatisfaction within the masculine characters of this film, around how they are at this stage of the film, because they are the kind of, let's call them secondary, let's not say weak, they're secondary.
They're a second thought.
And that second thoughtness inspires, I think, an exploration of patriarchy later in the film. And so what happens in this film, I mean, I was a bit thrown by how, and I don't know if you agree, I was a bit, not disappointed isn't the right word, I was surprised by how straightforward the conceit was.
Mm.
That she starts to have existential thoughts, and it's because someone in the real world is having existential thoughts about her Barbie or a Barbie.
Mm. It was cartoon Barbie-like story.
Yes.
But was that
him
and her being actually very clever?
I
think sometimes maybe this is a little bit of a writer being maybe a bit too clever.
Maybe.
And so sometimes, and then that maybe has cancelled it out a bit.
Because it stayed at the, I call it child speak.
Mm, because we said, what age is this for? Apparently, under 13 is not recommended.
No, it's a 12-8.
So...
And it says motherfucker.
Whereas I think you could take, personally, I would happily take a 5-year-old child to that because I think children will get what they get from it. I think that the language was perfectly fine for a 5-year-old.
But the way in which it was delivered, so you had Helen Mirren did a great voiceover at the beginning. I mean, I have to say, I
could have done with a bit more.
Could have done with a lot
with
more.
With that arched tone.
She was
tone.
So arched.
She had one line right in the middle, was made the whole audience laugh out loud.
It was hysterical.
I thought, I wonder if. If he's an American writer, I wonder if he didn't really realise the power of that arched narrator with that terribly British voice.
He's a New York... Well, he and Shirley were saying he. They both wrote it.
How could he not, having heard that film? I'm going to put a few more lines in there.
Well, no, and in a way, Helen Mirren's voice is very much there at the front of the film. It really sets up the scene.
But don't get me wrong, it's great. Yeah. I'm just picking here and going, I could have done a bit more with a bit more of Helen Mirren.
I just found the conceit between, you know, we're in Barbie land and what the dilemma is that happens, existential thought, it's happening, it's an echo, if you like, a vibration that's coming from the real world that's infecting the Barbie in this world. And for me, I was surprised by how two things came to mind. Toy Story.
Toy Story, massively.
Yeah,
all the way
idea of a rejected Woody, a rejected Barbie.
And that's when I was starting to question it a bit when I was watching it. I was like, no, actually, just sit with this. This is a bit Toy Story. This is telling us a story. It's using a simple device to tackle a big concept.
Yeah.
And that's all right. And so I just went with it. But then when we came out, you were like massively thinking about it. And I thought, oh God, am I supposed to be overthinking this now?
No, not at all. I was surprised by how simple that was. A little bit disappointed, if I'm really honest, I think, by how simple it was. I thought it was going to be a bit another layer of, I don't know, cleverness or something. I don't know. But maybe you're right. Maybe they're trying to be doubly clever by keeping it simple. But then I was getting vibes of when... they go to see Weird Barbie, played by that wonderful actress, what's her name, Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night.
Wow.
Let's just spare a moment for Weird Barbie.
I loved Weird Barbie. Why is she always in the splits? I love that line.
She was fantastic.
Every line.
Stock or high
every is. Line. If you weren't Margot Robbie, you wanted to be her.
It's very true. And
the thing is, there's lots of small characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And you did feel you wanted more of their stories. It's like there wasn't room for anybody else's story.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad she got her story because I thought it was a good one.
And so Weird Barbie is kind of instrumental, incredibly comedic, very funny. She sort of flops around doing really splits everywhere, landing
dry.
Everywhere. Very dry, very bad. Her best role, she was in Ghostbusters and what have you, the female version. I thought she was great. And then we have this facilitation where we come into the real world. And then I was getting kind of Enchanted vibes. The Amy Adams.
Mm.
And I think the Amy Adams Enchanted film is a really good guide or parallel.
I love that film
so
much.
Because I think Enchanted did a really, in a very simple way, and to a very young audience, of a clever job of representing the complexities of being a cartoon character in Disneyland.
So hard.
And becoming, and adjusting to the real world. And for me, if I sighed a moment, it was at the moment where they landed on Venice Beach, and we had what I would call the adjustment to the real world sequence, which I personally thought was weak. The skating, the arrest,
funny.
The punch.
It was funny. I think just don't overthink it. When you think about it. Yeah, it was a bit stereotypical. All the guys like, oh, you know, it's Barbie.
Funny exchange with the builders though.
Yeah, with the builders. Yeah, that was a great line. And just... the two of them rollerblading down the middle. It was just
Don't get me wrong. It was a momentary sag. For me, I just thought, oh, God, this feels... I feel like I've seen this done more convincingly and in a more sort of nuanced way elsewhere. So I was a bit surprised by that. But then, at this point, this is something I really want to talk about. I found Mattel, the company that made Barbie, they're behind this. They've funded it, they've helped it, they've facilitated
Self-deprecating, love it.
Wow.
It always makes me love a company more.
Bam, absolutely.
It just makes you relatable, it makes you human, it makes you a bit more like all of us, and we love you for it.
Yeah, a big high five to whoever Mattel said, do this, because they threw themselves under the truck. They threw the entire history of Barbie under the bus.
If only more brands would do this sort of thing, it would really move them on. And being, social media influencers, we will get asked sometimes to work with brands, and we just literally have to say no, because they're so stuck in the
sort of rigid
old way of everything is polished and everything is perfect. They won't move with the times at all.
And in a weird way, there's a vogue at the moment for these films. There's the Air Jordan film about business. There was the McDonald's film about business. You get a lot of these films about businesses. This actually, I thought, did a lot. Will Ferrell obviously plays the CEO of Mattel. Always funny.
He was so good.
He threw the company under the bus many times about underrepresentation of women in the boardroom, them all tickling each other and being ridiculous, control of women, patronising of women. Really took over.
Really good.
Really good.
And that's how they got such a great star, like Will Ferrell. Clever.
Absolutely.
Clever. And you know, so many companies are just doing this really obvious, crude, just trying to cover up by just employing people en masse that, you know, loads of women or loads of people of colour, and they're just trying to patch up.
Yeah.
Just make the changes authentically and admit the past. And it was fantastic.
And then moving on.
I mean, you know, apparently there's a lot of people expecting this to be incredibly woke. And I mean, again, what
woke
means to be awake.
It means to be awake.
It's not, you know. And I wonder if they were talking about all the Mattel stuff.
Yes.
Because actually, I found that the least woke of anything that I've heard companies do.
I thought it was very bold and brave of them to actually do it, because I hate to say it, and I don't mean to sound patronising, but I think there are an awful lot of people these days who don't get irony at all.
Mm.
And so when Will Ferrell's talking like this, I think people will just... to think about this just for a minute.
It's not made by Mattel, it's made by somebody else who wants to attack Mattel.
Focus on this for a minute. In a sense, the villain of the film is the CEO of the company that's allowed the film to be made, which is quite amazing. If you think, I mean, there isn't a villain really, but the villainish of the piece, corporately, is Mattel. And I think that was just the stroke of absolute corporate genius, absolutely.
And there's a great moment when Barbie's, you know, coming to the real world. She's in this huge office, Will Ferrell, CEO, and there's all these men in black suits, and she says, "Well, where's the CEO? And where's the president? And where's the..."
Yeah, it was all the women in...
And then the realisation that the makers of her, you know, just that understand... Which, again, yes, it is... Yes, I know what you mean when you say, but is that just very obvious and stereotyped? And but that is the reality,
I thought the corporate... I loved all that stuff. I could have done with even more of that. It was very... I mean, it was the right amount, but it was very... I mean, a vision of a CEO, Will Ferrell, with all his corporate guru men all on rollerblades, rolling around, trying to chase them. It was hysterical. So the film essentially moves through. What is the film essentially about? Well, Ken inveigles his way into Barbie's car. He comes to the real world too. And in a sense, Ken discovers patriarchy. That's the long and the short bit. He discovers there's this thing called patriarchy. And for me, this is the film's absolute home run. This is where it goes and it smashes the ball into the crowd.
I read something today that said, if you take a shot of tequila every time patriarchy is mentioned in this film, you'd be blind drunk on the floor.
If I was drinking, I'd do it.
But it's said in a derogatory way. And to just say that if people are going to attach wokeism to that...
What do you mean it's said in a derogatory
way? Well, that patriarchy is mentioned too often. But it's really not. It's really not, because it is tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. It's used in lots of different ways, the word.
Well, Ryan Gosling's engagement with patriarchy is one of the most priceless things I've ever seen. And he is sensational. His manifestation and the way in which he interprets patriarchy is just
something to behold.
He is Ken.
He is Ken. Ken has come to life. They're going to have to do Action Man.
No, they're going to have...
No, he's got to play Action Man.
Action. He's
Ken can never beat his spin-off. It's always Barbie and Ken.
Well, no, it's
there's
Barbie
a twist about that at the end,
and it's Ken. I love this film. So one of the things that I started to struggle with is we went down the route of he gets infected by patriarchy. He brings patriarchy back to Barbie Land, and we have in Barbie world
because he's desperately in love with Barbie.
Yeah, and he's wanted to kind of man up and do all the things that he thinks are manly, and so and you've got a little bit of the whole Andrew Tate toxic masculinity thing here creeps in, and I think that's very clever. I think it dealt with it very diligently and cleverly and funnily without getting it heavy. It didn't get heavy or too sort of like cringy. And it was comic, and I think there were some moments in there where I know you were laughing out loud at moments where, like, the guitar, him playing... So when Barbie goes back...
What about when he tries to kiss Barbie right at the beginning? There's all these films on TikTok, I don't know if you've seen them, our kids shows, where all about boys when they're going for a kiss.
Yeah.
And this weird eye thing. And oh my God, our girls are going to love that moment because he does it and he's going in, he's going in, he's going in. And Bobby's just looking at him like, what a dick. And so that's near the beginning, isn't it? But then later on when he comes back with his patriarchy.
He's got patriarchy.
He's basically medallion man.
He's medallion man. He's wearing a fleece. He's playing.
No, he's not. He's wearing wearing a long fur coat.
A long fur coat. He looks ridiculous. I mean, he looks ridiculous, but he thinks he's great.
Dressing a bit like a 70s pimp.
Yeah, exactly. And all the other Kens have been mobilised. And suddenly all the Barbies. What did you think they were saying about why all the Barbies so willingly just sort of fell for them? What was that politic? Why did all the Barbies
that
suddenly...
That was odd.
Oh, I'm pleased you said that.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see some interviews now with Greta Gerwig and stuff, because I mean, I think what it was saying is that Barbie world, in this world where a woman can have everything and she can rule and she can be Barbie, is very fragile.
Right.
Because what they were also having to be was perfect.
Yes.
Not to be upset, not to think about death,
yes,
not to have a hair out of place, not to, you know, to always wear heels.
Exhausting,
like when her feet go flat first time, she's like, God, I'd never wear heels if this was my feet.
Mm.
So I think it was saying that this, you know, it's always going to be 360 degrees to be a woman. There's so much involved. We can't, the perfection that was asked for, and we see that later in the rant from the human woman in it. And so it was on very thin ice.
Yeah.
So these men came back with their stance, and the whole thing bloody collapsed because it was built on a false promise can be 100% perfect.
Yeah. I love the way they turned the word beach into a verb.
Yeah.
It's like, I can beach things. I can do beach. Yeah, I found that a little bit curious.
What do you think about that theory then?
I was going to answer that. I think you're right. For me, it was a real kind of misstep in a sense, because I thought, well, hang on, they were all aware of how strong they all were to begin with, too. There was a strength in their Barbie femaleness, and then there's a strength again later in the film in their Barbie femaleness. And it felt odd that they had so easily and willingly relinquished that.
But again, power. I think it was just being clever in that this is an unreal standard to reach for, perfection.
Okay.
Because the Barbie world and all the Barbies in it are perfect. It's going to collapse. And it collapsed very quickly when they came back with the patriarchy.
Yes, exactly. It collapsed very quickly when they came back with the patriarchy. But then the patriarchy equally collapsed pretty easily once the women kind of... And the way in which the women unpick patriarchy in this film, the way Barbies unpick and essentially pull apart patriarchy, there's a wonderful guitar playing sequence, which again...
Don't tell me because it's such conceived, a place.
Brilliantly, just my right
arm. It matches the kiss thing.
Matches the kiss. But I thought, interestingly, going back to what your theory is, maybe then what this film is saying is that, by the end, is that the pressures to be so one thing for Ken and so one thing for Barbie are equally unattainable and unrealistic. And that's why both manifestations of, if you like, strength and superiority fail. You know, it fails for the Barbies. They hand it over because maybe they kind of wanted to kind of let go of it. They don't want to just be all powerful and all in control all the time, the Barbies. And when the men came back and said, we're going to look after this side of things, they were like, oh, yeah, no, that's quite nice. I can let go of that for a bit. It was an odd moment. But then, again, the men come back and do that, and then the men relinquish their control too, which is curious.
Because what that was they... We had all those lines. Well, I didn't actually want to fight him.
Yeah.
And I don't really. So it was them rejecting toxic masculinity. That's what it was. They rejected it because they hadn't grown up with it.
Yeah.
Because they had no sense of it.
Yeah.
Whereas in our society, it is so... I mean, even women ask for toxic masculinity. Oh, he's too nice, or he's too kind.
Well,
there was a great line
from the teenage girl who says even girls are horrible to girls, or one of the characters said even women are horrible to women.
I don't remember that, but I think they just rejected toxic masculinity because it had the threads weren't put into them from day dot.
Yeah. Okay, and so...
My name is just Ken Baby Dolls. Could you believe we're talking this seriously about
I know, but let's also talk about the really light, fun, fluffy bits. Great songs, great dance scenes, great silliness. Do you remember that great choreographed dance? I mean, there was a fight scene, a battle scene in this film, which is just... brilliantly riffing on battles, and yet it involves just pink plastic things flying around everywhere, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. But
also the dance scenes are
the first dance scene was hysterical.
As I said to Mark, jewels in the crown. There was lots of jewels in this crown.
Lots of stuff that you're going to see on social media for sure. Just quickly, let's talk about motherhood. Was really important in this film, I thought, because essentially it pivots around a mother and a daughter in the real world, their connection to Margot Robbie's stereotypical Barbie, and it was. I found it moving. And you said you did too, the kind of reflections on parenthood.
I welled up quite a few times. And again, you know, it's not, we'll have all seen better written scenes about mother and daughter relationships. But again, it's that heart that Greta gets into. She's so good at that. She just moments where I was like, when I just was just triggered with the feelings of loss around, you know, our daughters and them growing up and them moving further away, even when they get into those moody teenagers and they give, you know, it's all that side eye to their mum and they just you suddenly feel, it feels like your daughter hates you. I remember what there was something really funny on social media a couple of years ago. I've always held it. And I think it was on Saturday Night Live. I can't remember who the actress was. And she said, having a teenage daughter is like having the guy at the office that you really fancy and who's not interested in you. And you're like, hi, are you okay in there? I just wondered when you might want to come to lunch or, you know, and you just feel like you're always begging for them to just look
exactly
at you.
That's exactly how I feel as a father.
So, and all because I never let myself really go to the pain of that. That was brought up a few times for me in the film. And I was like, and then there was one moment when the teenage girl just looks up at her mum and puts her head on her shoulder. I cried in that as well.
I went through the whole thing of, I've been through it here with stuff being cleared out of rooms. I went through all those trips to Toys R Us to get this Barbie. I remember all the Barbies. I love the Barbies. And so I went through that thing where there was a moment where parents clearing away some Barbies and there was a montage of parents with their kids with their Barbies. And I was like, enjoy these moments. Enjoy these moments. Two other things.
Nostalgic. You'll feel nostalgic, as a parent. And again, the Toy Story element comes up. And I think because they're human people, we think that the dialogue isn't complex enough, but there's so many themes within it, isn't there?
Rhea Perlman plays the ghost of the creator
of Barbie. Who I love from Cheers.
I love Rhea Perlman. Wasn't entirely convinced by that whole narrative, her ghost, and I don't know, it kind of felt a bit weird. I didn't feel I needed it. And then we get to an end final moment, and for spoilers, it's hard, you can't really spoil this one, but you know, obviously all those fine details, some people want to, like Nadia, wants to discover for themselves. So this is a spoiler alert. If you don't want to know what exactly happens at the very end of the film, now
it's just a line.
It's just a line. But in that line, we both had two completely different understandings or readings of that line, didn't we? Do you want to explain what happens?
So it's right at the end of the film. Barbie is now in the human world and she's being driven by the mother and daughter that she's made friends with. And she's all like suited and booted and, you know, she's nervous and she's excited and they drop her off outside this tower block and she gets out of the car and she asks for the floor and she goes upstairs and, you know, she checks in and you think she's going for an interview for a job and she says, what's your name? And she says, well, I'm Barbara so-and-so and who are you here to see? My gynecologist.
And there was a huge roar of laughter.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh my God. So here she was so excited. You know, all these dreams that she had about being a human. She was going to work. She was going to earn her own money. She was going to make a difference. She was going to make connections with people and all of this. Yeah, but first, you got to go to the gynecologist. That's what I got from it. I got from it. Let's just slow down a minute here. It is... Because in Barbie world, of course, everything is wonderful.
Yeah.
But nobody bloody likes going to the gynecologist. Oh, do you like to just pop up on the bed? Do you mind awfully if I don't? That's what I always think when anybody
says. I'll tell you what I was struck by at the end here. With that final statement, I was struck by what I feel. I don't feel this should happen. I think there's going to be a bit of a backlash against the end. For two reasons. I think...
Towards the end?
No, in this end statement.
Oh, why?
I think there are two possible ways this could play out. I think... When you said what you said, I went, oh, yeah, right, okay.
So funny. Can't ever forget about you.
Yeah. Like it's another everyday fucking annoyance of being a woman.
God, I mean, how many times you grow up in a house full of women, how many times you walk through here with conversations that we're having, you go, really?
Yeah, free zone. Yeah, absolutely. Well, no. So two things. I thought, oh, wow, she's being reduced back down to her reproductive organs. Is that not, again, biological determinism, reducing a woman down to just her sexual organs?
No, that is not what Greta Gerwig was doing.
That's why I kind of thought. But I thought some people will find that. And then I thought, is this some kind of a...
Well, then she can't win if she's going to be called woke. And
is this some kind of a finger flick to trans?
No.
Because, well, no, that's a very
why?
Pure, well, because I think a lot of people will come to this film thinking it's going to be woke. I don't know whether it's a symptom of how necessarily, in many cases, not all, necessarily sensitive and sort of hypersensitive one is to get about, hang on, trans issues. I was surprised by how it didn't even seek to go towards the trans. You know, we had two, it's clearly male and female, this film. And right at the end, when she bangs that word in, you know, was it
gynecologist?
I thought, is there a bit? I don't know. I just thought some people might read that as a little bit.
Well, maybe that's just because we're in this atmosphere where we do have to watch every single thing we say. But I can honestly say, I watched that and thought, oh yeah, right, yeah. Before you take over the world, yeah. Don't forget, you've got to go for your smear. That's what I thought.
Well, that's not what I get. And those two things, I'm worried the film may get that reception.
And she was excited about having a human body.
Yeah, well, my excitement was that if you were to... Well, this sounds really wrong. But for the first time, Barbie wouldn't just have Barbie written across her nose.
Did she ever have Barbie written across
her? When you lifted a Barbie's dress...
She could have a bejazzle.
No, when you lifted a Barbie's dress, it just says Barbie printed on her knickers.
No,
there was a great...
Oh, on her knickers, not on her nuna.
Yeah, so she never had a nuna. She only had Barbie printed on her knickers.
No, but maybe that's another thing. Well, she's all excited about having a human body. It's like, you don't know what's about to happen, matey Philip.
No, Philip. Well, okay, well, let's...
You might have a vagina now, but somebody's got to look up it quite regularly.
That's true. Yeah, and no one could have done when you were a Barbie doll. And there was a very good joke in there somewhere about Ryan Gosling or Ken's kind of orb, wasn't it? There was a sort of non-specific orb where his penis should have been.
What about when there's a great line when the Barbies are trying to unbrainwash the other Barbies. And so they're saying, you know, you've been brainwashed into the patriarchy and da-da-da. You know, and you know, you have to do what you want to do and you shouldn't be... And she, as she's being unbrainwashed, she goes... I don't want to touch her foot. Because obviously there's no penis.
Yes.
And one of them be making her touch her foot.
Yeah, that was funny. I think it is a script. You're right, actually. I think it's a script that... Often there are films that are very complex in plot that when you go back to them, you see and find so many new things. I think this might be a film where when you go back and watch it a second time, the script will deliver
I think maybe it's a brass crown with lots of glittering jewels. I just think it's clever.
It is clever. Okay, well, in summary, I know you don't like scoring it, but I'm going to force
I'm
you
not
today.
Scoring.
No, I'm going to make it.
I can't score. I'm going to score against what?
I'm going to give you a score.
Would you like it if a film of yours was scored?
No, but it's something that nearly every film reviewer does.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Okay, well, don't.
Because what I will do is, it's like when I review books, I will say, I judge it by, when I think about the people I'm seeing that week, who I'm going to tell to see
it.
So, you know, I will be saying, oh, God, have you seen the Barbie? Oh, I would really, this. I would take my daughter. So that, to me, is me selling tickets for
Fantastic.
That film.
That's great.
So, but I can't judge it because there's so many different films.
I can't judge it with
a number.
But there are a lot of people out there who like it for the shtick. And most papers do it. I mean, all newspapers do it. So, you know.
Nothing's defending.
Well,
I just can't do it. My brain can't work out
don't
how
do it.
To do it.
It's hard. Nanny Dyke does come out with random numbers sometimes.
All I know is I'll be telling people to go and see it.
In summary, I would say that I was genuinely, I was blown away by Ryan Gosling. I can see what you were saying about Margot Robbie's role. It's a very difficult role, and she gave it everything. And it's very hard to give a plastic Barbie doll everything for some of those sections. But I think it was an incredibly complicated job she had.
I thought she was faultless.
I think she's going to be. It's not going to be. It's going to be underappreciated what it took to.
Because she was a straight man,
woman. Straight
woman,
yeah.
And he is. You know, he's got the comedy role of a lifetime.
Ron Gosling has gone to the top of my absolute must-see watch, which is something quite incredible. When I was really. I was meh about him, absolutely meh.
And the funny thing is, I now don't fancy him anymore.
That's
because
he's so ick.
He was so ick. So he
I mean,
was
Ken is ick.
So he played it without vanity. He didn't play it. He inhabited it without vanity, and that will pay you dividends every time as an actor.
Michael Cera was great as Alan, Ken's friend. But my find for me,
Alan
was lovely.
He didn't have a massive part, but every line was perfection.
Michael Cera, fantastic, very, very good. But I would say, and I know you, I don't know if you know, I don't think you necessarily agree. I thought this was a much cleverer film about toxic masculinity and patriarchy, than I was expecting it to be. I was expecting it to wrong-foot me or make me think new things about feminist politics or the female condition or gender politics. And it didn't actually... I didn't find myself thinking anything new about the situation for women, about women, between women and men.
But what is new?
Well, there isn't anything new, but I did find it really interesting the way that it characterised toxic masculinity, I thought. But it, for me, it did infantilise all men. I thought they all...
It's a bit of a shame for you all, isn't it?
I don't mind that. I'm just saying that's what it did.
There is one moment that I was really disappointed in, and it's only a small moment.
Oh, okay, what was that?
But when her creator, what's the woman?
Oh, Rhea Perlman. Yeah.
Holds her hands when she's deciding whether she wants to be human, and she said, but first you have to feel. And then she closed her eyes, and I thought, wow, here we fucking go. She's got to feel all these feelings.
Right.
But every one of the flashbacks was feelings of joy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the weird
thing... What about the gynecologist?
Yeah.
What about being terrified in the street? What about... I wanted all the fear. I wanted everything about being a woman. I didn't want just, like, the joy of being a mother, which that I found... I was a bit disappointed that all we were seeing was the joy of being a mother. It was babies. It was holding up a baby. It was But then again, I was thinking, did I miss something clever there? Because was it saying there that, yes, we've discussed everything else. We've discussed it. Like, we have that really good scene when she's first walking as a human. She's on the rollerblades and she's going down the street. And she said, oh, what's this feeling that I've got? It feels like it would be fear. And he goes, oh, I haven't got fear. Because she's not picking up all that energy. And then was that end bit about, and this is the joyful part? I don't know.
I think this film is doing that thing that you often talk about, and I think is really liberating, which is, I think it's saying it's all right to be feminine. And I think a lot of culture, it's very difficult. There's a lot of pressure, and they talk about this in one of the monologues. There's a lot of pressure on women to sign up to a masculine approach to the world. Mm. And that's masquerading as equality. Whereas actually, why can't you be essentially feminine and equal?
That's what I always say. Yeah. You know, with certain things, when I get vilified for saying certain things, like if I were to say I love cooking for you, I love doing, people might question of whether I'm a feminist. I'm a feminine feminist.
But that's what I think. And I think in a weird way...
That's what we choose. Yeah. We choose how... And that's what we have to be so much more fluid with, is that. Mm. Because we are all stuck in these... bloody roles people want to pinhole us into.
And even right near the end, that Will Ferrell throws Mattel under the bus right at the end, which is it's fantastic. I preferred it when it was in Barbie Land. I wasn't sold on real land as much. I thought the conflict was much stronger in Barbie Land. But I really enjoyed it. So if I was to score it, I would be giving this film 70 out of 100. So there you go.
That doesn't mean anything to me. What else have you given 70?
I don't know.
There you go. Doesn't mean anything to you then,
Anyway, let us know what you think. Do you agree? Do you share our thoughts? Do you have a Barbie doll?
Please subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell, and also follow us on @ThePopcornJunkies on Instagram.